There will be a feature on the SFU Red Leafs hockey, followed by the latest on the Surrey Police transition. Now I'd like to feature the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On January 23rd, the BCIHL Red Leafs hosted the Okanagan Lakers at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center, where the puck drop was a few minutes after 7 p.m. SFU opened the scoring 3:29 into the game, as Pierce White scored his 7th on the Lakers starter Reed McLennan, who gave up RJ Dickey's first 56 seconds later, as SFU jumped to a 2-0 lead over Okanagan at 4:35. However, the Lakers struck back soon later, as Parker Konecki scored on the Red Leafs backstop Cheyenne Kermany at 6:38. Konecki scored his 2nd of the night 4:55 later to tie the game, as Okanagan outshot SFU 14-11 after 20 minutes with the score at 2 apiece. The Lakers went ahead early in period 2 as Colton Boyarski scored his 11th on the Red Leafs' Cheyenne Kermany. The game became physical during period 2, where the game got tied at 3 late as Gavin Baines scored his 5th on Reed McLennan at 14:50. Then SFU earned a power play chance with 3:16 left, as Okanagan's Jake Watson got 4 minutes for 2 roughing penalties, while Pierce White was penalized for 2 minutes also for roughing, and the Red Leafs capitalized just 13 seconds later on Tanner Turner's first on the Lakers' backstop Reed McLennan, as SFU ended period 2 up 4-3 in Okanagan, with the Red Leafs outshooting the Lakers 30-29 after 40 minutes. Early in the third, the SFU captain Jaden Fawchuk walked in all alone past the Okanagan blue line and deked the Lakers starter Reed McLennan for his first goal at 1:05, as the Red Leafs jumped to a 5-3 lead and McLennan was pulled in favor of Jacob Burnside. Okanagan was rejuvenated after the goalie change, as Parker Konecki scored his 3rd of the night 46 seconds later at 1:51, 9 seconds after which the Red Leafs 9 seconds after which the Red Leafs captain Jaden Fawchuk was penalized for 2 minutes, and Parker Konecki scored his 4th of the game 41 seconds into the man advantage, Konecki's 11th of the season on Cheyenne Kermany, as the Lakers force a 5-5 tie with the Red Leafs at 2:41. Physical play also dominated during the second period of period 3, where Okanagan gained their lead at 11:29 as Ben Schmidt scored his 1st on SFU's Cheyenne Kermany, who also surrendered Colton Fleming's 1st with 2:10 left, as the Lakers bested the Red Leafs 7-5 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center on January 23rd. 2026. Okanagan were led by Parker Konecki with 4 goals, Ben Schmidt with a goal, 2 assists, Carter Bettinson with 3 assists, Colton Boyarski, Colton Fleming with a goal, an assist each, Brandon Gallo, William Chibago with 2 assists each, while the starter Reed McLennan gave up 5 goals on 31 shots in 41:05, and the relief Jacob Burnside stopped all 8 shots in 18:55 for the win. Meanwhile, SFU were led by Jaden Fawchuk with a goal, an assist, Samuel Brown with 2 assists, and Cheyenne Kermany surrendered 7 goals on 41 shots in 58:50.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is January 23rd, 2026. I'm in the coach's room of dressing room 6, where the SFU Independent Red Leafs have their locker room. And in front of me,
it's Guido Lombardi-Chance,
the head coach for the BCIHL Red Leafs, who had an exciting game with the Okanagan Lakers, but ultimately fell to the visitors 7-5 with the BCIHL Red Leafs still looking for their first win in 2026. First of all, what went wrong tonight?
Well, one big thing what we pointed out even this evening after the game is we're not consistent enough, right? If we play the right way, we are forced. But then we said we've been up 2-0. We started the way we've been talking about the last few weeks and months. So we came in right out of the gate and scored two quick goals, and then everyone started shifting a gear up. So we shifted a gear with two down, and then we let the Okanagan come back in the game, and that's when we started struggling. And then all of a sudden, yeah, we had no energy, and everyone was kind of surprised. And it took us a while to get back, right? And then we start playing again, and then it's too many up and downs, right? And I'm in coaching a long time, and so what I'm seeing right now, so the team is it's a good team, but we are too young, and at the moment you see all the teams we're playing, we have some older players, they are more mature, they know the league, they kind of a little bit more developed size and weight wise, right? So we get a little bit too much pushed around, and that's kind of hold us a little bit back. But we have to play consistent. That's the key, right? We have to play 60 minutes from the start till the end, the way we talk, the way we train. And we cannot take one other shift off and playing slow and sloppy.
I also noticed the momentum shifting back and forth between the BCIHL Red Leafs and Lakers. What happened to the BCIHL Red Leafs after Jaden Falchuk's highlight reel goal early in the third period that put you up 5-3?
Well, I think so. Again, right, remember we started, been up 2-0, and then all of a sudden everyone shifted back. And that's actually when you have to step up. Same on this goal from Jaden. So I'm very happy that he finally scored his first goal. And it was an important goal tonight. And then again, instead kind of stepping up and finding another gear and finding another 10% to maybe have that 6-3. Then we kind of shifted back again, and all of a sudden it goes bang, bang, and then it's 5-5, right? And then I knew that's kind of a momentum in the game, what I didn't like. And I've been too many years in coaching, and I saw that too many times. It's so hard to come back after those leads, and then come back, and then the other team is coming back. It's just like that inconsistency, but kind of, it's not going to say it pissed me off, but I'm not happy about that, right? But I think that takes a little bit of time, because it's 16 or 17 rookies we have in the team. They have to learn to play in this league, and there is no easy game. And I thought a little bit when we have the lead, then they think, oh, it's easy. Even the first two goals, right? 2-0 right off the hop. And we've been out shooting them. We've been, I think, 7-1 shots. And they thought, oh, it's a goal night. So I thought everyone's looking, oh, who's going next, right? And start staying with the concept. And so that shows me that the team is a little bit, on the younger side, and they're not really understanding to play 60 minutes the way we want to play.
Late in the game, Jaden Falchuk, the captain, got penalized for punching a Laker. What is your opinion about that?
Well, I thought the game got a little bit out of the hand from the refs. I thought some of the calls, I cannot really see what the reason was on those calls. And some calls they had to make even against Okanagan, they didn't call that one. It's tough, right? I don't want to blame the refs. And I always say to the team, right, I don't care about the refs, right? Either way, we have to kill, or we have to do power play, so we get our chances too. We had power play tonight. We could not score on our power play. The power play was not good enough, and the special teams kind of struggling lately. Even our PK, we've been in the start of the season, I think we've been one of the best PK in the entire league. And then if I look back, even when we played start of the season, our expedition games, the PK was actually very, very good, and now it's gone, right? It's just like, it's missing some key things in our PK, that stop and start and staying more calm, have sticks in the passing lane, and we're running around, and Yeah, well, it happens once in a while, so that's something we have to keep an eye on in the practice the next few weeks and get the PK and the power play back in the track.
You'll be facing the Okanagan Lakers tomorrow night at the end of a back-to-back, but in Kelowna. How will you confront them in their barn tomorrow night?
Well, we just talked about in the locker room. One positive thing I want to point out, so after the last couple of weekends, at least we scored 5 goals. The last 2 games, we're shooting the puck a little bit more, so we get closer to 40 shots again this game. Last weekend, we played VIU. In VIU, we had 40 to 43 shots. So the trend is going up that we're kind of shooting more, generating scoring chances. So we have to capitalize on that and keep that going. So we have to get our goalies kind of going again and make sure that we kind of have a little bit better structure in the neutral zone and on the blue line, not too many turnovers. And if we can cut down the shots a little bit and keep the shots a little bit from the outside and kind of increasing our shoot volume tomorrow, I think that's a good chance that we can win the game tomorrow. So I'm still positive. The team has the willingness to win, and they're showing up every practice in the games. They want to win. The talks in the locker room, it's all positive. It's just like, I want to keep that up. And it's just like, we plan to win tomorrow. We've been even talking in the second intermission in the room. The players said we want to win the game tonight, and I know everyone is showing up to win. So that it's all that I can ask for now as a coach. And for me, it's not a job to help the players to win games and help them their point, what I can do as a coach, but they have to show up and execute the X's and O's, what we train and what we talk about.
Finally, tonight Cheyenne Kermany gave up 7 goals. Who will be starting in net for the BCIHL Red Leafs in Kelowna tomorrow night?
So tomorrow we have Max Starling and Lachlan Abel as backup.
Thank you for the interview tonight, and best of luck against the very same Okanagan Lakers tomorrow night in Kelowna.
Thank you very much.
Hi, once again. It's Steve Chong. Tonight is January 23rd, 2026. I'm now in dressing room 4 with the BCIHL Red Leafs red jerseys in a large black bag. But in front of me is a center for the BCIHL Red Leafs, who had 2 assists tonight in the team's 7-5 loss to the Okanagan Lakers. First of all, what went wrong tonight?
I think we just had a few breakdowns. Like, we started a lot, going up 2-0, but we just took a lot off the fire, and that's something we can't be doing going in the future. But there's definitely a lot of positives tonight, like scoring 5 goals. That's definitely huge for us and a good step forward.
Tell me about your 2 assists tonight.
Yeah, they're just hard work and assists. I just got the puck to the guys and they did all the work. Credit to Jaden and Bain. Just, they worked hard in the corner, just gave them luck, and they scored.
I want to delve into your second assist, where Jaden Fochuk had a highlight reel goal. Expand.
Yeah, it was definitely an amazing goal by Foz there. I just hit the guy, gave him the puck, and he obviously just went into him and did all the work. And definitely a highlight reel goal. You don't see many of those kind of goals, so that's awesome to see for his first of the year, too.
Jaden's highlight reel goal put the BCIHL Red Leafs up 5-3. Then the wheels fell off. What happened?
Yeah, like, we definitely just took a log off the fire. I think we got a little too confident, and that's just something we can't be doing. Every team in this league is good, and we just got to keep pressing, keep your pucks on that, and we just did the opposite tonight.
Finally, what did the BCIHL Red Leafs have to do to upend the very same Okanagan Lakers tomorrow night, but in their home barn in Kelowna?
Yeah, tomorrow we just got to honestly just do the same thing. Get up 2 goals early and just keep pressing. And just keep putting in gear, just keep going forward and make them play out their deals.
Thank you for the interview tonight. And best of luck in Kelowna tomorrow night against the very same Okanagan Lakers.
DS View BCIHL Red Leafs met the Okanagan Lakers again on January 24th, this time at MNP Place in Kelowna, where the puck drop was at 6:15 p.m. Okanagan opened the scoring just 22 seconds into the game as Carter Berenson eluded DSFU backstop Max Fowl. The Red Leafs tied the game 4:23 later as Nathan Braun scored his fourth on the Lakers' Jacob Burnside. Carter Berenson scored his second of the night, his 11th of the season on Max Fowl at 8:25, but SFU tied a game late in the period on Luke Bradley's first on Okanagan's Jacob Burnside at 14:16 as the game was tied at 2 after first, where the Lakers outshot the Red Leafs 18-13. The second period saw 6 goals as Aiden Brown scored his second at 2:21 for a 3-2 Okanagan lead, replied by SFU's Pierce White's 8th 1:28 later. The Lakers went up 4-3 on Jacob Hufte's first at 9:17, but SFU tied the game at 4 exactly 6 minutes later on Justin Osborne's 6th with 4:43 left in period 2. As Parker Konecki scored his 12th with 1:30 left, Justin Osborne of the Red Leafs was penalized at the same time, and the Lakers jumped to a 2-goal lead on the power play on Colton Boyarski. As Colton Boyarski eluded Max Fowl as... just a minute, please. Where did I go? Yeah. On Colton Boyarski's goal on Max Fowl, as Okanagan ended period 2 up 6-4 in SFU, with the Lakers outshooting the Red Leafs 35-25 after 40 minutes. Gavin Baines cut the deficit to one just 50 seconds into period three with his fifth on Jacob Burnside, but Okanagan regained their 2-goal lead at 4:02 as Colton Boyarski scored his second of the night, his 13th on SFU's Max Fowl, who surrendered the Lakers' 8th goal to Johnny Carmichael, his third of the season, with 5:25 left in regulation, and the Red Leafs fell 8-5 at MNP Place in Kelowna, dropping both games to Okanagan this weekend. The SFU BCIHL Red Leafs were led by Gavin Baines with a goal and assist, and Ben Ruthven with 2 assists, while Max Fowl yielded 8 goals and 48 shots. Meanwhile, the Lakers were led by Parker Konecki, Carter Berenson with 2 goals, 2 assists each, Johnny Carmichael with a goal, an assist, Aiden Brown with a goal, an assist each, and Brandon Carlo with 2 assists, while Jacob Burnside made 32 saves on 37 shots for the win. Here are the current BCIHL standings. 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for an OTL or a shootout loss. The Vancouver Island University are first at 13-2-1, 27 points. Then there's a huge drop-off in the point parade, with University of Victoria second at 9-5. Okanagan Lakers third, 6-9-1, 13 points. Logan Lake Miners 5-5-2 for 12 points. Then there is another drop-off as SFU are dead last at 3-11, 6 points.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Mm-hmm. Now I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. On January 19th, Staff Sergeant Lindsay Houghton spoke to media to provide an extortion update in Surrey as the number jumped to 34, averaging almost two cases a day in 2026, with seven shootings, 19 victims, 16 of whom are repeat victims, urged community pressure to report on extortion crimes, encouraged those who know perpetrators to come forward as they can break multiple extortion cases, encouraged people not to take matters into their own hands, agreed with Ginny Sims of Swift Radio that the extortion cases are underreported, as there were 133 extortion cases in 2025, according to the SPS, which fielded 180,000 police calls last year. Ginny Sims of Swift Radio asked whether the SPS was not taking extortion cases seriously due to the crimes involving the South Asian community instead of whites, to which Staff Sergeant Lindsay Houghton fired back by saying any claims of racism by the SPS are insulting and flat out wrong. There were two updates on January 20th. First, with the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski on a video shown on the SPS Facebook page, as he revealed that the SPS has asked for more officers from the BC government for more patrols around the target locations, Air One helicopter during night hours, and publicize those who have been arrested and charged, especially when the SPS needs more information, and urge those who receive threats to report to the police. Later on, the BC RCMP Assistant Commissioner John Brewer, also the BC Extortion Task Force head, held another press conference as he began by saying January 17th marked the 4 months of the BC Extortion Task Force, a combination of the BC RCMP and municipal police forces, started its operations. There were 32 separate files across the Lower Mainland working with the CBSA, an important part of the BC Extortion Task Force to enforce immigration laws, and the BC Prosecution Service to bring forth charges to the Crown Council. Seven individuals have been charged from the BC Extortion Task Force, with the CBSA Pacific Region investigating 111 foreign nationals as of January 20th, when Surrey also recorded its 35th extortion incident in 2026 for various immigration and refugee-related violations, with nine being removed from Canada. During the first question from Jordan Armstrong of Global BC, who described the recent spike in shootings in Surrey as shooting galore, the BC RCMP Assistant Commissioner John Brewer responded the description as unnecessary, as there are shootings unrelated to extortions, and the media need to be balanced in reporting extortion crimes by looking at what the police forces are doing to combat extortions, which are not a crisis in his mind, and will not let the officers under his command to cut corners, as these cases will fall apart. In response to Ginny Sims of Swift Radio, who claimed that the trust in police is very low, to a point that the victims feel the need to defend themselves and someone to leave Canada, Brewer said the police are working to investigate extortions, now on their front feet in their investigations, never take matter into one's own hands, as risks go up significantly. The local police provides victim services, and the BC Extortion Task Force works with the federal agencies for intelligence and swoop in when local police forces request more resources. When Jordan Armstrong of Global BC further questioned John Brewer, the BC RCMP Assistant Commissioner, John Brewer, in not labeling shootings as crisis, Brewer fired back at Armstrong as conflating shootings on different types of crimes. But the backlash was swift from Brewer's comments on extortions in Surrey, as the mayor, Brenda Locke, who met with Nina Krieger, the BC's public safety minister and solicitor general, on 20th, released a statement the next day asking the federal government to appoint an extortion commissioner in a letter to the federal public safety minister, Gary Ananda Sangari, dated on the same day, January 21st, 2026, when the Safe Surrey Coalition Councillor Mandeep Nagra blasted the PCRCMP Extortion Task Force, quote, as tone-deaf, outrageous, and insulting in not labeling extortion crimes in Surrey as a crisis, and the BC Premier David Eby found John Brewer's comments puzzling, as he suggested Brewer should step aside unless he shows urgency in fighting extortions. John Brewer apologized later on January 21st in not describing extortion shootings in Surrey as a crisis, but still refused to describe extortions as a crisis, with extortions being one of DRCMP's highest priorities. Also on January 21st, the BC extortion team leaders met with Nina Krieger, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, to share the urgency that she, the Premier Eby, and British Columbians feel about the extortions. On January 22nd, according to Sonia Aslam of City News 1130, Councillor Mandeep Nagra felt the RCMP would take extortions seriously only if it involved non-South Asians, as extortions are, quote, definitely a crisis in Surrey, and people in Surrey are definitely angry by his comments, referring to John Brewer. Later on January 22nd, Nina Krieger, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced a $600,000 investment to enlarge the firearms lab of the CFSEUBC, Combined Forces Special Enforcement Unit of BC, to better combat extortions. On January 23rd, Puneet Sandhar, the South Asian Business Association of BC Vice President, slammed the BCRCMP in not labeling extortion crimes as a crisis, as there are many businesses in fear, but can't close their businesses down. Some have moved out. The South Asian business community is felt abandoned by the police and blamed the provincial government as being part of the problem, with dozens of extortions in Delta, Surrey, and Abbotsford, according to Sonia Aslam of City News Vancouver. On January 23rd, DSPS Chief Norm Lipinski asked for more resources from the BC government to combat extortions, such as asking for more officers, which he labeled extortions as a crisis in Surrey in interviews with CTV Vancouver and Global News. Today, there is a major protest planned in Surrey against extortions. Let me take a look where that is. Just bear with me for a minute. There is a protest being planned. There is a protest being planned in Surrey today. As for the latest numbers, for the Surrey Police Service, there hasn't been any changes since last week. 627 sworn police officers, 129 women, 498 men, 280 visible minorities, 22 indigenous, and 498 civilian employees. Thank you for listening to episode 4 of the Steve Chong Show in 2026 on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.